Pachelbel's Canon in D. You've heard it at every wedding you've ever attended, and you've heard its chord progression in hundreds of pop songs since. 1-5-6-5-4-1-5. 8 chords repeating. It's the most famous harmonic loop in Western music. And it works. It works so well that songwriters are still using it 340 years later. But here's the thing. That loop is training wheels. Classical harmony takes those same building blocks, triads, progressions, cadences, and does something far more sophisticated with them. That's what today's lecture is about. I'm going to assume you know your basic chords, major, minor, diminished triads, and that you can hear a 1-4-5-1 progression. What I want to do today is push past that into the harmonic techniques that separate classical music from pop. Inversions, seventh chords, functional harmony, and pedal points. These are the tools that give Bach, Beethoven, Chopin, and Rachmaninoff their depth. Let's start with inversions. You know a C major chord is C, E, G. But which note is in the bass, the lowest voice, changes the character completely. C in the bass, root position, solid, grounded, stable. E in the bass, first inversion, lighter, more mobile, it wants to go somewhere. G in the bass, second inversion, unstable, floating, it almost always resolves. You hear these differences whether you know the terminology or not. A first inversion chord feels like leaning forward. A second inversion chord feels like standing on one foot. Classical composers are obsessive about inversions because they care about the bass line, the lowest voice. A great bass line isn't just the roots of chords marching along. It's a melody of its own, smooth, stepwise, with its own logic. Inversions are what make that possible. Listen to Bach's Air on the G string. Focus entirely on the lowest notes. Did you follow the bass? It walks downward, step by step, smooth as silk. And because it moves by step, many of the chords above it are in inversion. The bass note is in the root. That walking bass is the engine of the piece. The melody floats on top, serene and lyrical, but the bass is doing the architectural work, driving the harmony forward through a series of carefully chosen inversions. This is Baroque harmony at its finest. The bass line is a composition within the composition. Now, seventh chords. You know the dominant seventh, the 5-7 chord. It's the one that pulls you home to the tonic. But there are other seventh chords that create very different effects. The diminished seventh, four notes, each a minor third apart, is pure tension. It's the horror movie chord, the thunderclap, the hand of fate. It's symmetrical, which means it could resolve in several different directions. Composers love it because it's ambiguous, like a crossroads, where four different paths look equally plausible. Listen to the very beginning of Beethoven's Pathetic Sonata. The slow introduction, Beethoven hits you with a diminished seventh chord almost immediately. It's a punch to the chest. And then he lets it hang there, unresolved, before the allegro explodes. That crushing weight in the opening chords. That's the diminished seventh at work. Beethoven uses its ambiguity to create a sense of being lost, disoriented, before the allegro finds its footing. Its harmony as drama. Then there's the half-diminished seventh, close cousin of the diminished, but with a slightly different flavor. Warmer, more wistful. It's the chord that opens Wagner's Tristan und Isolde, the famous Tristan chord, and it changed the course of Western harmony. We'll go deep into that in the chromaticism lecture. For now, just know, the type of seventh chord matters as much as the root. Let's zoom out. In tonal music, every chord has a function, a job. There are three jobs: tonic function, predominant function, and dominant function. Tonic chords feel like home. They're stable, at rest. Predominant chords create motion away from home. They're the departure. Dominant chords create tension that wants to resolve back to the tonic. They're the longing to return. The basic story of tonal harmony is home, departure, longing, return. 1-4-5-1. Over and over, at every scale from a 4-bar phrase to a 40-minute symphony. What separates a great composer from a mediocre one isn't the functions themselves. Those are universal. It's how long and how creatively they can delay their return. Mozart gets you home quickly and elegantly. Beethoven makes you fight for it. Wagner keeps you away from home for 4 hours. But they're all playing the same game. Create the expectation of home, then control exactly when and how you get there. Last concept, the pedal point. This is when the bass sustains a single note, usually the tonic or dominant, while the harmony above it moves freely, sometimes into very dissonant territory. It creates enormous tension because your ear is anchored to that bass note while everything above it churns. Then, when the harmony finally aligns with the bass again, the resolution is massive. Listen to the opening of Rachmaninoff's second piano concerto. The piano plays slow, rocking chords that build in intensity. Underneath, there's a sustained low note, a pedal, and the harmonies above it get richer and more complex with every bar until the orchestra enters and the dam breaks. Those stalling piano chords, growing louder, more harmonically dense, all over a bass that barely moves. The tension accumulates and accumulates until the orchestra's entrance feels like sunrise. That's a pedal point used to maximum emotional effect. Bach uses pedal points in almost every fugue. Bruckner uses them to build his cathedral-like climaxes. It's one of the oldest and most powerful techniques in harmony. Today's lecture connects to several others. The voice leading lecture will show you why certain inversions sound smooth and others sound awkward. It's about how individual notes move from chord to chord. The advanced harmony lecture will introduce secondary dominants, Neapolitan 6 and augmented 6. The chromatic chords that take everything we discussed today and push it further. And the Schenkerian analysis lecture will argue that beneath all this harmonic complexity, the deep structure is always the same. 1-5-1. Home, tension, home. Check yourself. I'm going to play two short passages. In one, the bass line moves smoothly by step, lots of inversions, careful voice leading. In the other, the bass jumps around, hitting mostly root position chords. Which is which? First. Second. The first, Bach, had the smooth, stepwise bass line with plenty of inversions. The second, Mozart's Eine kleine Nachtmusik, has a more declamatory bass that jumps to root positions. Both are masterful, but the texture is completely different. Bach's harmony glides, Mozart's harmony marches. Your assignment. Listen to the Chopin Nocturne in E-flat, Opus 9, number 2, one more time. But this time, completely ignore the melody in the right hand. Focus only on the left hand, the chords, the bass notes, the harmonic rhythm. You'll hear the chords shift, sometimes smoothly by half step, that's chromaticism. You'll hear moments where the bass sits still while the upper notes move, that's a miniature pedal point. And you'll hear the difference between chords that feel stable and chords that are passing through. That awareness, hearing the harmony as a separate layer from the melody, is the foundation for everything else in this course.